All right, Joel, say good morning. So today's daf is Yud Dalet. We are picking up on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, four lines up from the bottom. Another beautiful Gemara today. The Yesh Omrim. Others say, Lo Meis Moshe. Well, so remember again, yesterday's daf, we spent a significant amount of time speaking about the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So others explain that, in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu never died. Now, what does it mean Moshe Rabbeinu never died? Ksiv Hach, I'm sorry, actually, we read this. We're picking up two lines up from the bottom. Va'ikbar osa bagai be'eretz Moav mo'beis par. So they buried Moshe Rabbeinu in the valley, in the land of Moab, opposite Beis Par. We'll say Beis Par, of course, refers to Baal Par, which was a popular biblical idolatry. So the Gemara says, Simin b'soch simin, va'afilu hachi lo yodi ish es kvuraso. So also, interestingly enough, the Torah gives two simanim. Torah gives two signs for the location of the burial place of Moshe Rabbeinu, but yet still to this day, no one knows where he's buried. So what do I mean, the two signs? Number one, it tells us that it's Begai Mul Beis Par. That's number one. So it tells us in the valley by Beis Par. And number two, it teaches us that what? That it's in Eretz Moab. So we're given two signs, and yet people still don't know where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. In fact, Ukvar Shalcha Malchus HaRasha, Eitzel top of Yudalit, Eitzel Gistra Shabes Par, Her Anu Hechan Moshe Kavra. Well, this is actually amazing. The Romans, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, one of the first things they did is they sent a group of soldiers to the governor of Beis Par and asked him ultimately again where to find the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe, this is amazing. So the Maharsha points out that the Romans wanted to desecrate the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu. So they're trying to find where's the grave. So what happened? So the governor, the Gistira, Rashi says is the Moshe. So the governor of Beis Par takes them, and what happens? Amdu lemala, nidma lehem lemata, lemata, nidma lehem lemala. So Moshe, here's the issue. The Torah says Moshe was buried in a valley. So they went into the valley, but it looked like they were on top of a mountain. They went on top of a mountain, and it looked like they were on top of a valley. In other words, that they couldn't find the grave. Nechleku l'shtei kitos, they finally split up, and what happens? Osan shomdim lamala nidma lahen lamata. Lamata nidma lahen lamala. Those who were on top of the mountain looked like they were in a valley. Those who were in the valley looked like they were on top of the mountain. In other words, the Ribono Shel Olam prevented them from finding the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu. L'kayim mas she'ne'emar, to uphold that which is stated, v'lo yada ish es kivuraso. The Rabbo said the pasuk says that v'lo yada ish es kivuraso, and actually the end of the pasuk says is ad hayom hazeh. Right, no one knew the location of the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu up until this day. Rabbo said there's a lot of interesting mefarshim in terms of why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make Moshe Rabbeinu's grave. Why did he have to make the location secret? So of course, the most famous pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned that people would turn Moshe Rabbeinu into a deity. And therefore, again, hid the location of his grave. I saw a beautiful insight. The Ben Yoyada says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a man who was constantly pulled between heaven and earth. He on one hand was man, but he on the other hand was mal. So he says something amazing. He says, you know, that the Gemara says, within this in Yuma, that Aron Eina Min Amida, that if you look at the dimensions of the Kodesh HaKadosh, the Holy of Holies, and the dimensions of the Aron should not have fit in the Kodesh HaKadosh. But the answer is that the Aron Eina Min Amida, the Aron did not occupy space. However that works, it's something physically we can't comprehend, but spiritually, the Kodesh Baruch Hu made it that the Aron didn't. So the Ben Yehuda says, Moshe Rabbeinu was like a living, breathing Aron. So when it says, so it's just like the Aron Eina Min Hamida, so Moshe Rabbeinu Eina Min Hamida. You can't identify the physical location in which he was buried, because literally, again, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he left this world, lost any semblance of a physical being and became fully ruchni, fully spiritual, to the point that ultimately, even his grave was no longer accessible. Beautiful insight. Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbo said, this is actually amazing Gemara. Af Moshe Rabbeinu Eino Yodei Heichan Kavar. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, right? It was so well hidden that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know where he was buried. Ksiv Hacha V'lo Yodei Ish Es Kivuraso. It says here that no one knew. No man knew the burial of where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. Ksiv Hasam V'zos habracha asher berach Moshe isha Elokim. And it says over here, by zos habracha, this is the blessing that Moshe isha Elokim. So the Gemara is making a little bit of a gzir shava of ish ish. It calls Moshe ish in the beginning of zos habracha. And therefore, again, when it says v'lo yod ish es mekom es kvuraso, the ish also refers to Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Well, so what this seems to allude to is the fact that this way, again, Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to convey to anyone else the location of his kever. Even he did not know where he was buried. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu buried by Beis Par? Meaning, why was Moshe Rabbeinu buried opposite an idolatrous temple? It's such a strange place for Moshe Rabbeinu to be buried. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's final resting place, being opposite Beis Par, was a kapara for all of the Avod Zora of Baal Par. An incredible idea. I will say that this is the sign of a true leader. A true leader doesn't stop leading his people, helping his people when he's dead. He continues to do so. He just continues to do so in a different way. So even a Moshe Rabbeinu's death, because we'll say, you understand what's bothering the Gemara here, right? You understand what's bothering the Gemara? What's bothering the Gemara? I'm sorry?
It's a
bizarre. And now, take it even a step further. Let's go back to yesterday's daf. Even Yosef, who wasn't Zocha to go back to Eretz Yisrael, was Zocha to Kvura in Eretz Yisrael. So why can't Moshe Rabbeinu's remains be brought to Kvura in Eretz Yisrael? You ever wonder about this? Okay, Moshe, the Gzeira is, you can't go in. Fine, but you can't be buried. You can't be buried. So anyway, so again, there's the Medrash that ultimately brings down the idea that when he was identified as a Mitzri, he didn't challenge that identification. But here the Gemara is saying something much more profound. The Gemara says Moshe has to be buried where he's buried because he serves as a Melitz Yosher, he serves as an advocate, he serves as a Sanigord, he serves as a defender for Klal Yisrael, even in his death. That every single time HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down in this world and sees the temple of Baal Pa'ar and sees all the idolatry that Klal Yisrael engaged in, right there, within eyeshot, is that the right word?
Yeah.
Right, within eyeshot, ultimately, again, is within eyeshot is the kever of Moshe Rabbeinu, which ultimately reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu of all the zechuyos of Klai. So an amazing idea. Vara Bicham Rabbi Chanina, my dichsev. We'll say another beautiful, magnificently beautiful Gemara. My dichsev. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu. Well, so what's the meaning of the pasuk when it says that you shall follow after Hashem your God? So we'll say, how could a person possibly follow after the Ribono Shel Olam? Meaning, what do you mean, walk? You should walk after God, which sounds like we're supposed to emulate God. How could I emulate God? He's God, I'm not. So what's the pshat? Moshe is an incredible Gemara. V'halol kvar ne'emar ki Hashem Elokecha ish ochla. But rather the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an all-consuming fire. So how could I possibly emulate him? Elo lahalich achar midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather what it means is that we should emulate the attributes of God. Mahu malbish arumim tichsiv vayas Hashem Elokim la'adam uli'isha kasnos or vayabishem. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu clothes the naked. As it says, after the sin of Adam and Chava, that the Ribono Shel Olam went ahead and gave Adam and Chava kosnos ar. Literally, clothing, ar, we'll just mean ar, we'll define what it means right now. He gave them clothing. And it says, af ata habe sharumim. So too, you should clothe the naked. I will say, by the way, the Maharsha takes this one step further. And the Maharsha says, when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu clothe the naked? After they sinned. After they sinned, which tells you that I have an obligation to do chesed even for people who are not so virtuous. Right? It's not just tzaddikim I have to help. I have to help even people who have committed averos. Even people who have incredible spiritual shortcomings. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu clothes Adam and Chava after they sin. So to, not only do I have an obligation to clothe those who don't have clothing, but no matter what their spiritual standing is. Next. HaKadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu visits the sick, tichsiv. Vayera elav Hashem be'elonei mamrei. So remember again, the beginning of Parshas Vayera. So ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Avraham Avinu, as he's sitting at the entrance of the tent. Av ata b'ikar cholim. So too, again, you should also visit the sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nichim avelim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comforts mourners. Dichsiv. Vayi acharei mos Avraham. Vayivarech Elokim es Yitzchak bino. That it was after the death of Avraham. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Yitzchak, his son. So we'll say again, so this is actually, this is last week's parsha, where again, after that, Avraham Avinu, so the Chazal understand that this coming to bless, good morning, Mr. Shofar, that this coming to bless Yitzchak Avinu is Nichum Aveilim, is comforting of mourners. Af Ata Nacham Aveilim, so too we should also comfort mourners. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cover Mason, God buries the dead. D'chsev Vayikbar Osa Bagai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and buried Moshe Rabbeinu in the valley. Av Ata Kavar Mason. I will say, by the way, the Gemara has this discussion elsewhere as well. This list, this is not the fully exhaustive list, but I will say, you see over here that every single midah you see of the Ribono Shel Olam, ultimately, again, that is something we are supposed to emulate. And it goes even further, because every single, some of these examples are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with tzaddikim. The many of the chasadim recorded of HaKadosh Baruch Hu were done with people who are not such tzaddikim. So you see from here, you have an obligation to reach out and to help out every kind of person. Magnificent Gemara. Kasnos are, so built, picking up on one of the things the Gemara just mentioned, so the Pasuk said that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and Chava, kasnos are. He made them clothing, because this is when they realized that they were naked after the sin. So he made them clothing. So what does he mean, kasnos are? Rav Ushmuel, chad amar davar haba min ha'ar. So one says he made them clothing out of something that comes from the ar, from the flesh, which is a reference to wool, Rashi says. That wool grows, ultimately, again, from the skin of the, from the flesh of the lamb. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them clothing made out of wool. However, v'chad amar davar sha'ar nehena mimenu. The other one said, no, it's he made them clothing from something that the flesh gets benefit from. Interesting enough, if you look at Rashi, sha'ar nehena mimenu, shal pishtan, linen. Linen, sha'adam lovish samach lo'ro, that linen feels good against the skin. Well, I said, just I'll point out to you something fascinating, which is that if you notice, the machlokis over here, one says wool, one says linen, which interestingly enough is the prohibition of shatness. Just there's something to think about there. Thereshub smaloi, Torah tchilasa gemilas chasadim, v'sofa gemilas chasadim. What's another magnificent gemara? Rabbi Smaloi says, the Torah starts with chesed, and this Torah ends with chesed. Tchilasa gemilas chasadim, it begins with chesed. How so? D'chsev, v'yas, Hashem alakim, la'adam ishtar kasnos are. Because the Torah begins by telling us that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and Chava clothing. That was the first act of chesed. But in fact, not the one could argue the real first act of chesed was Bereishis Bara Elokim Hashamayim Va'aretz, right? The Moshe created the world. But again, the Torah is looking, the Gemara is over here looking for chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly bestowed upon people. So the Torah begins with chesed, giving clothing to Adam and Chava. V'sofa gemilas chasadim, and it ends with chesed. V'chsev Va'ikbar Oso Bagai. The Moshe Kadosh Baruch Hu bears Moshe Rabbeinu in the valley. Darash Rabbi Smaloi, Mipnei Manis Ave Moshe Rabbeinu Likonis Laretz Yisrael. We'll say, but it's just such an incredible yisod, how you see that at the end of the day, this true litmus test of spiritual success is becoming a Baal Chesed. If a person is a Baal Chesed, a person becomes a selfless individual and wants to give and wants to help and wants to reach out and is able to be kind and is able to be nice and save upon him, all of these things. These are the things that the Ribono Shel Olam looks for, in addition, of course, to all of our spiritual activities. But, you know, the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be good and nice people. So the Gemara goes weiter. Mipnei manis ave Moshe Rabbeinu likaranis Eretz Yisrael. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want so badly to go into Eretz Yisrael? V'chilech al mipir Yehu tzarech. Does Moshe Rabbeinu need to eat from the fruit? Olisbam mituv tzarech. Or he has to become sated from the good of the land? Elakachar Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ribono Shel Olam, there are many mitzvos. There are mitzvos hatzilios ba'aretz. Many mitzvos that can only be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. Ekhanis ani la'aretz, kedei sheyiskaimu kulon al yadi. Let me go into the land so that I will have the ability to go ahead and fulfill them. Amar la HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam said to Moshe, Klum ata mevakish ela lekabel schar. I know you only want to go in and get reward. Now, we'll say, now remember, this is not a Kadosh Baruch Hu giving Moshe Rabbeinu Musr. Right? He's not trying to give him Musr over here. He's just trying, I know, I understand what your ratzon is. You want to accrue the spiritual merit of doing these mitzvahs. Remember, not schar that Moshe Rabbeinu wants, he doesn't want a bungalow in Olam Haba, he wants a palatial estate. Or not that he wants, the idea over here is that Moshe, I know that you want the spiritual energy that comes from these mitzvahs. So Moshe, here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you the reward, the merit, as if you actually performed these mitzvos. Shene emar, because the pasuk says, here the Gemara quotes from the pasuk in Yishayo, Lachin achalik lo berabim. We'll read the whole pasuk and then the Gemara is going to break it up. Lachin achalik lo berabim. Therefore, literally, I will give him his portion among the multitudes. Thus, atsumim yechalik shalal. And with the, again, with the great, or with the strong ones, he will divide up the spoils. Tachas asher hera lamaves nafsho, because he extended his soul to die. Ve'es poshim nimna, he is counted among the sinners. Ve'hu chit rabim nasa, he lifted up the sin of the multitudes. Ve'la poshim yafgia, and ultimately davens for the sinners. What does this mean? Now the Gemara is going to break up the pasuk. Lachin achalik lo berabim. Therefore, again, I will give Moshe Rabbeinu the schar like the multitudes. Yochel kachronim ve'lo kirishonim. I might have thought that Moshe Rabbeinu's merit is only like the later ones, but not like the earlier ones. In other words, I would have thought that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have the same merit as the Avos, as Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Maybe they're just in a different category. They just don't have the same merit. Tamu lomar ves atzumim yechalek shalom. That he will go ahead and he will divide up the reward with the atzumim. Who are the atzumim? Ke Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, shehim atzumim betorah mitzvos. Who were strong and were valiant with Torah mitzvot. So in other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu say, Moshe Rabbeinu, you are just as great as the Avos. Just as great as the Avos. Dachas asher he'era naf sholomos. Because literally, you put your life on the line to die on their behalf. Shemasra atzmo lemisa. That Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to give his life to die on behalf of his people. Shene emar vim'ayin if not mechinina misifrecha. Remember, this is after the Chet HaEgel, after the sin of the golden calf, where God threatens to destroy Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you're going to do this, erase me from your book. I don't want any part of your Torah. Ves poshim nimna, and he is counted again with the sinners. She nimna im esei midbar. Now, I'll say, this is an amazing statement. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu dies in the desert. So to a certain degree, he's counted among the Dor HaMidbar that died in the desert. I'll say, even though we know chronologically that is not correct, meaning chronologically, everyone pretty much died out by the end of the 39th year, right? Because at the end of the 39th year, you have 40 years. So everyone died by then. Moshe Rabbeinu lived an additional year past that. But when you look at Moshe Rabbeinu, he dies again in the same parsha, same chapter of time as, again, the Mesei Midbar. So to a certain, but again, we saw why. We saw because he has to be buried opposite Beis Pa'ar. But yet, nevertheless, again, Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, for lack of a better term, takes one for the team, meaning he's buried with the people he led, despite the fact that the people that he led sinned so terribly that they couldn't enter into the land. The leader, the captain, goes down with the ship. He goes on. He atoned for the episode of the golden calf. For La Poshim Yafgia, what does it mean again? La Poshim Yafgia, Shebikesh Rachel La Poshe Yisrael. He requested compassion for the sinners of Israel. Sheyachzeru b'tshuva, that they should do tshuva. Ve'ein pigia elatvila. It will say you have to understand something. All gemaras like this are always interesting. What does the Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Klal Yisrael to do tshuva? First of all, you can't daven for someone to do tshuva, because again, for someone to do tshuva, what has to happen? They have to make that decision to do tshuva. What Moshe Rabbeinu davened for is Hakadosh Baruch Hu should give them extra time and extra opportunities. Just give them a little bit more time, and they'll get their act together. So Moshe Rabbeinu davens for his people. Ve'ein pigia lashon te'ela tefila. The lashon of pigia is tefila shene'emar va'ata al tispala ba'ada amazeh va'al tisa ba'adam rina utfila va'al tifka bi. That again, quoting from the pasuk over here from Yirmiyahu, that now that you do not pray on behalf of this nation, al tisa ba'adam rina utfila, do not advance on their behalf a song or a prayer, va'al tifka bi. Do not listen. This is God talking to Yirmiyahu when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was fed up with Klal Yisrael. Va'atifkabi, do not continue to pray to me, ki eineni shomea osach. I will not listen to you. So you see from here, the lashon of paga, ultimately, again, is a lashon of tefillah. So we'll say, so the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is that, again, even when we sin, and even when we made such terrible mistakes, at the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu was always advocating on our behalf. Hadrin Allah. I would just advise you, you know, we had about probably a good week, a solid week, more than a week, of magnificent Agarata, which again, I've said to you every day, I didn't do it justice because of the speed that we have to go. I would urge you, go back, learn these Gemaras, right? At night, the shir is 5:45 in the morning, so you have your evenings are wide open, right? So Baruch Hashem. So take, if you take 15 minutes a night to go back and look at these Gemaras, and again, whether you do it with the art school, you do it with the Steinsaltz, whatever you're going to do, or you just do it yourself with the Mefarshim in the back, it's gold. It's literally like we stumbled upon a treasure, like a gold mine, but we only had a little bit of time to enter into the entrance, grab a little bit, fill our pockets, and walk out. There's a lot more to fill your pockets with. Please go back. So most of the Gemara now goes weiter. So we're going to go back a little bit now to the actual realm of Sota. We actually have to learn a little bit about Sota one of these days. So now we're going to go back to the process. Remember, the last time we left the Sota, she was in the Beis HaMikdash. She was in the Azara. Actually, she was by Sharni Kanor. The woman decided that she was going to drink the water. We moved her up to Sharni Kanor now. So now the Gemara says, Hayamevi es minchasa besoch kafifa mitzris. She would bring her karban mincha inside a kafifa mitzris. Now what's kafifa mitzris? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, a basket, shal natzrei dekel ziradim shegedelim saviv hadekel. They call this palm bast. If you ever look at a palm tree, so you look at the base of the palm tree, there are like these pieces of tree that grow off the there's the trunk, there's the bottom, and there's this part that surrounds the bottom. That's called palm bast. So they would make a basket from this palm bast. And what would happen? This is what she would bring her mincha in. Venosna al yada, they would place the mincha on her hands, kedei liyaga, in order to disorient her. We'll explain what that means in the Gemara. So we'll say, under normal circumstances, when you bring a mincha, now remember, a mincha offering is an offering that comes from flour mixed with oil, and there's something called lavona that accompanies it. So normally, a mincha, we'll discuss the scenes in the Gemara, but it begins in the Kli Sharis. A Kli Sharis is a sanctified temple utensil. So normally, a mincha begins in a Kli Sharis and ends in a Kli Sharis. The zoo, this, however, mincha sota, tchilasa b'kfifa mitzris, it begins in this palm basket, v'sofa b'kli sharis, and ultimately it's transferred into a kli sharis. Kala menachos t'unos shemen alavona. Normally a mincha has to have shemen and lavona. V'zu eina t'una lo shemen v'lo lavona. This one does not have oil, nor does it have lavona. Kala menachos ba'os minachitin. They both say all menachos come from wheat. V'zu ba minasiorin. But minchasota comes from barley. Now, I will say, now remember, this is not the only carbon that comes from barley. Minchasa omer, afapi shaba minasorin hi haisa ba'agerish. So we'll say, even though the omer offering, which remember again, the offering brought on the second day of Pesach, that allowed the consumption of chadash, of new grain, which was grain that took root since last Pesach, that was also brought from barley. But that barley was ground up. Garish means fine flour. The zu ba'akemach. This mincha of the sota was not only barley, but it came kemach. Kemach means what means what they call meal or coarse flour. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Kishim Shemaaseh Maaseh Behema Kach Karbana Machal Behema. The same way that her actions were animalistic in nature, meaning they were immoral, and just like animals are not bound by codes of morality, so she acted like an animal. Therefore, again, her karban is brought from food that is fit for an animal. Tanya, Abba Chanan Amor Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Kol Kach Lama, Kedei Liyaga, Kedei Shetach Sarba. Both remember again, what did the Gemara say? And we're going to get into this in greater depth. But the Gemara said that she holds her mincha. We make her hold her mincha for a long time. Under normal circumstances, the mincha is given right over to the Kohen. In this particular circumstance, she holds her mincha for a long time. Why? To disorient her. Why are we trying to disorient her? Kedei Shetach Sarba. Because the Rabbi said, if indeed she is guilty of adultery, we want her to what? We want her to admit it. Now why? The Gemara says, in order to save her life. That's what we're trying to get her to do. To which the Gemara says, Imkacha chasa Torah al ovri ritzono, kavachoma osi ritzono. Now both say, remember, understand what the Gemara is saying. What we want is that even if she committed adultery, what do we want her to do? Well, we want her to admit it. Because at least if she admits it, then what? She's not executed. It's true. Her marriage is over, and she loses her ksuva. But better to lose your marriage and your money than to lose your life. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? You see how we are so concerned for the well-being of the sinner, kal vachomer for the well-being of the tzaddik. So the Gemara says, umimai. Now this, we'll say, a number of you asked this before because this was a tension we've seen before. Umimai, dilma umimai mishum dechasa hu dilma ki hechid lo timchak migila. Maybe we could care less about her life, but rather, what do we care about? the erasure of the Megillah Sota that has the name of God. Maybe that's what we're concerned about over here. Meaning, again, if, as far as we're concerned, if she committed adultery, whatever is going to happen to her is going to happen to her. Maybe what we're really concerned about over here is the erasure of God's name. But we'll say, oh, now we've just stumbled upon one of the most fascinating machloksim by Sota that we're going to expound upon in a few days from now. Kasavar mashke v'achakach makriv es minchasa. Oh, we'll say we are going to see that there is a fundamental dispute as to the order of the Sota process, namely, when does the woman drink? So we'll say, so the Gemara is suggesting over here that our Mishnah reflects the view that says that first she drinks and then she offers the mincha. Ah, you're going to say, but if she already drank, then what is the point of getting her to what? To admit she already drank? Listen to this. The Gemara suggests that the drinking by itself is not effective. What activates the power of the water? The mincha. And therefore, again, even if she drank, we still convince her to admit her guilt, if she's guilty. Don't offer the mincha, and the waters will have absolutely no impact on you. Take a look at Rashi. Mashke, first Rashi on the daf. Hamayim, ba'achakach makriv minchasa. Uplugtihi, beperek hayanota. So what's it? We're going to see this machlokis a little bit later on in daf yotes. Umiyu, calls man, shelo kirva minchasa, as long as she has not yet offered her mincha, eino nivdekes, the waters do not check her. Dichsiv, maskeres avon, afa pisha shasa, manichin osa biyada, kidiliyaga, vitoda, vahashta vada mishum chisar. So also listen to this. Therefore, according to this opinion, let's finish the Gemara. Therefore, the Gemara says, our Mishnah reflects the view that what? First she drinks, and then she offers the mincha. And amazingly enough, the powers of the water are only activated through the mincha. We'll discuss where that shita comes from. And therefore, I will say, in this case over here, where she already drank, meaning the erasure of God's name is all, it's done. It's done already. So the only reason we would be convincing her to admit her guilt is why? Is why? To save her life. And therefore, again, the Gemara says, you see from here how concerned we are even with the potential sinner. Alachas kama v'kama kal v'chomer, how concerned we are with the life of the person who is righteous. Kol ha-menachos. So let's remember again, the Mishnah said that all menachos generally begin and end in a klishari. So klishari, remember, is a sanctified utensil. So the Gemara says, Orminhu, I'm going to ask Akasha, Seder menachos ketzad, what's the proper order of menachos? Adam mevi mincha, mitoch beso bekalsos shel kesef v'shel zahav. So I'll say, so what happens? A person goes ahead and brings a mincha within baskets of gold and silver. We'll say this is a normal mincha. Under normal circumstances, you're bringing your flour, the assumption you're bringing your flour, let's say, from your house. So you put it in to a basket of gold or of silver. Then when you get to the Beis HaMikdash, what happens? You get to the Azar, the courtyard, you put it into a klisharis, a service, a temple service utensil. You sanctify it in the klisharis. So again, part one of the process is, you see you're bringing it from your home in what? In a regular utensil. But a bakavadik utensil, gold, silver, you get to the Beis HaMikdash, you put it in a klisharis. Once you put it into a klisharis, it's sanctified. You put onto the mincha shemen, oil, and levona. Umolicha etzel kohen. You bring the mincha to the kohen. Also, remember, I want to point out this is not by mincha sota. This is by a stam carbon mincha. The kohen molicha etzel mizbeach. The kohen takes the mincha to the mizbeach. Umagisha bikaren deromis ma'aravis. He brings it close to the southwestern tip of the mizbeach. Keneget chuda. Right by the tip shall karen, by the tip of the corner. But remember again, the corners of the mizbeach, bless you, the corners of the mizbeach protruded from the mizbeach. They went up higher than the rest of the mizbeach. So you bring it to the southwestern tip of the mizbeach v'dayo, and this is enough. Umesalek es halavona letzalecha. Now, but remember, in this klisharis you have flour, oil, and lavona. So the coin moves the lavona to one side.
The komets mimakum shenesraba shmana. So we'll say, remember again, the karba mincha, there's only a very small part of it that's offered up. How much is offered up of it? A kamitza. So kamitza means the kohen takes his three middle fingers, whatever he could scoop up, he shaves off the excess with his pinky and his thumb. And that's the amount that is offered up on the mizbeach. So what does he do? He moves the lavona aside. He takes a mincha from the place that has the greatest concentration of flour and oil. And what happens? You then take that kmitza. Remember, the mincha itself is already in a klisharis. You then take that kmitza. Then what do you do with it? You put it in another klisharis. Or mekadsho beklisharis. And you sanctify it again in a klisharis. So this is now a second klisharis. Or melakit es lavonasa. You then take the lavona from the first klisharis. Vinosna al gabav. You put it on top of the kmitza, which is in a second klisharis. Umala umaalehu umaktiro. And you go ahead and you bring it up to the Mizbeach, and you offer it up, B'klisharis. I will say, interestingly enough, we will see, you do not have to put the kmitz itself on the fire, but rather, again, you could put the klisharis on the fire. Maktiro B'klisharis, umolcha, you salt it, v'nosna agabe ha'ishim. So you salt the komets. So now, I will say, at this point in time, you have the komets, which has the concentration of flour and oil. You put the lavona back on there. You salt it as well, because remember, you have to salt every single karban, even a mincha. And you put it on top of the fire. At this point in time, what's happened? Karav HaKomets, you've offered up the Komets on the Mizbeach, and when that happens, Shiareh HaNeacholin. I will say, the great part about Mincha is what? The bulk of the Mincha is consumed by the Kohanim. Right? That's called the Shirayim, the leftovers. So the Kohanim get the Shirayim of the Mincha. V'rashoin HaKohanim litin l'socha yayin v'shemen udvash. And I will say, what could Kohanim do with the Shirayim? Anything you want. You want to mix in some olive, you want to mix in some honey, you want to mix in some wine, delicious. You could do whatever you want, however, with one caveat, the ain asurin ella milachamei. So we'll say, you want to go ahead and make whatever you want out of those shiraim, you could do, except you can't let it become chametz. It cannot become leaven. And we'll say, now remember, why did we quote this entire braisa? Katani miha, bekalsos shel kesef, or bekalsos shel zav. We'll say, but what do you see from here? Remember, the Mishnah made it sound like, except for Mincha Sota, every other Mincha begins in what? What did the Mishnah say? A klisharis. Yet, what did the Braisa say? The Braisa said, when I bring this Mincha from my home, what am I bringing it in? A regular golden or silver basket. So, not a klisharis. It's a contradiction. To which it's not a contradiction. Amar Papa Ema, mean the Mishnah means to say, the kelim haru'uyin the klisharis. Oh, what it means is that the mincha has to begin in a utensil that is fit to be a klisharis. And therefore, again, a gold or silver utensil. But it doesn't have to be an actual klisharis. So the Gemara says, mechlad kfifa mitzris lo chazya. So are you telling me then, what I can infer from that is, according to you, you're telling me that a kfifa mitzris, this palm-bast basket, is not fit to be a klisharis? Kiman, whose opinion does that reflect? The low Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. This is not Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Why? This sanya, klisharis sha'asa and shal'eitz. If you have a klisharis that was made out of wood, Rebbe posel. Rebbe says that it's posel. The Rabbi Yehuda machshir. But Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says that it's kosher. That is kosher. Afilu tema. So what do you see from here? So apparently, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that wood would be good as a klisharis. So what? So again, he would seem to hold that even the palm basket should also be good as a klisharis. To which the Gemara says, Afilu tema, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. No, it's even according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Why? Amar, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Bechashuvin. It's true. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that even a wooden basket could be good, or a wooden receptacle could be good for a mincha, could be good for a klisharis. Why? Because that's chashim. But Rabbi Yosef say a basket made out of palm bast, even Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would agree that what? That's not fit to be a klisharis. Why, Rabbi Yosef? Because it's not chashiv. Me less than the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda hakriveu nala pechasecha. Does Rabbi Yosef Yehuda not hold of the mandate of that said in Malachi hakriveu nala pechasecha? Means, Rabbi Yosef, that when you're coming before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to bring something that is fit to come to the entranceway of God's home. In other words, there's a concept of zekli vanveu. Everything you do, Rabbi Yosef, in your Judaism has to be beautiful. Therefore, even Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who says that a klisharis doesn't have to be gold or silver, okay, It could be wood. It could be some other chashim material. But what can't it be? It can't be made out of palm bast. So Bosai said, therefore, again, the novelty over here is that the mincha sota is brought in a kli that is not normally usable for menachos. But for all other menachos, when the mincha, if let's say this is assuming you're bringing flour from Yasa, Bosai, remember, it's not clear. I don't know historically what happened, but we know from our shkalim days. Remember our shkalim days? Our Shkalim days, right? So far, our only Yerushalmi Masechta. When we finish at Bavli, we'll go on to Yerushalmi Emirat Hashem. That'll become our night show. We'll do Bavli in the morning. Coming attractions. Yerushalmi in the evenings. We saw that in the Beis Hamikdash, they sold flour, right? Remember, they sold flour, they sold animals, because people didn't want to have to schlep this stuff from wherever they were coming from. So again, if you're buying your flour in the Beis HaMikdash, so Bepashtas, even then, it would start out in an unconsecrated utensil, not a non-klisharis, and then you would transfer it in. But apparently, even the original utensil that you start out with has to be something that is technically ro'i to be a klisharis. The exception to this rule is sota, that her mincha begins in a utensil that is not fit to be a klisharis. The Gemara goes weiter. V'nosein aleha. V'nosein aleha klisharis. Remember, again, we then take the mincha out of the palm basket and put it into a klisharis. Shamas mina klisharis in mekadshin elamidas. We see from here that what? That a klisharis is only mekadesh with intent. What's it meaning? The wording of the Mishnah seems to indicate that a klisharis is only mekadesh when it's actively transferred in there with the das of the owners. But let's say somebody accidentally puts something into a klisharis. The klisharis would not be mekadesh the contents. Ema nosna b'klisharis lekadsha b'klisharis. Rather, again, no, you can read the Mishnah saying that she puts it into the klisharis because the klisharis automatically sanctifies the contents. In other words, and that the Mishnah may be saying that klisharis ultimately even sanctifies without the intent of the owner. So we'll say that's a fundamental machlokes by klisharis, which we're not going to deal with right now. Does the klisharis only sanctify when the owners have intention for the object to be sanctified, or does klisharis de facto sanctify? Whatever is in a klisharis, by definition, becomes sanctified. V'nosnin aleh shmana ulevonta, and we put on top of her mincha the oil and the levona. Shne emar vayotzek aleh shemen v'nosan aleh levona. We will place upon it shemen and place upon it levona. Umalicha eitzal kohen. We then go ahead and bring the mincha to the kohen. Dichsiv ve'via el bnei aron. The pasuk says you bring the mincha to bnei aron. V'na kohen molicha eitzal mizbeach. The kohen brings the mincha to the mizbeach. Dichsiv ve'gisha al mizbeach. Okay, going past success, I'll bring it to the Mizbeach. Magisha bekeren deromis ma'aravis, kineged chudo shal keren v'dayo. So the coin brings the mincha to the southwest corner. Literally the corner, the tip of the corner, and that is enough. So the Gemara says, Minalon, how do we know that he brings it to the southwest corner? Minalon, d'chsiv v'zos toras ha-mizbeach. Hakrev osa b'nei aron lefnei Hashem al p'nei ha-mizbeach. The pasuk says, this is the law of the mincha. The sons of Aaron shall bring it lefnei Hashem, before God, al p'nei ha-mizbeach, to the front of the mizbeach. Now, what does it mean to the front of the mizbeach? Yochol lefnei Hashem. I'm sorry, v'tanya lefnei Hashem yochol b'marav. So we'll say, I might have thought that this has to be before God. It should be, again, in the southern corner, in the western corner. Supposed to say, just to orient you over here, I meant to email out this picture to the shir, so you could see exactly what I'm talking about. But just, you'll have to trust me on this. So remember, again, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was situated in the west, right? It's situated in the west, and again, situated in the west. So Lifnei Hashem would have ultimately meant that you would offer it up Lifnei Hashem in the west. Talmud Lomar, El Pnei HaMizbeach, but it says to the front of the Mizbeach. Now, Bosai, the front of the Mizbeach ultimately, again, would be the north. Would be in the south. I'm sorry. So if it's going to be in the front of the Mizbeach, Yochel Pnei HaMizbeach, Bedaram. So to be Lifnei Hashem, you'd want to offer it in the west. To be to the front of the Mizbeach, you'd want to offer it in the south. So HaKetzad, so what do you do? HaKetzad, Magisha Bekeren Dirom Mizrach. So maybe we'll email that out to the shir. Okay, you can see that? You can see that? That's good? Okay, fine. Thank you. So what happens? So remember, again, I have competing values over here. On one hand, to be lefnei Hashem, I want to be towards the west. On the one hand, to be in the front of the Mizbeach, I want to be in the south. So both say, how do I compromise between those two? Southwest. southwest. Connect, so the Gemara says, HaKeitzer Magishin Bekeren Deromis Mizrachis, Hab Magishin Bekeren Deromis Mizrachis, Bekeren Deromis Ma'aravis, Keneged Chudo Shal Keren Vadayo. Therefore, again, I offer up, I bring the Mincha to the southwest corner, the southwest tip of the Mizbeach, and that's enough. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yachol, Yagishin Bema'aravis Shal Keren, Ole Deromis Shal Keren, I might have thought that perhaps I should bring it to the southernmost point of the corner of the Mizbeach, or, to the westernmost point, or to the southernmost point. So the Gemara says like this, Amrit, Komakum sha'ata moti shnei mikros. Well, so listen to this. Whenever you find two psukim, Echad mekayim atzmo mekayim divrei chavero, ve'echad mekayim atzmo mevatel divrei chavero, one pasuk upholds itself and its fellow pasuk, and the other pasuk upholds itself, but is mevatel the other pasuk. Manichin esher mekayim atzmo o mevatel chavero, v'tovsin esher mekayim atzmo o mekayim chavero. So we'll say, so now what the Gemara is saying is like this: when you have two pasukim, and one pasuk ultimately again works for itself, but contradicts another pasuk, but a second pasuk upholds itself and also upholds its fellow, then what? We go ahead and we take the second pasuk that ultimately is able to uphold both the pasuk itself as well as the fellow pasuk. What does this mean? Kisha'ata omer lefnei Hashem b'ma'arav. So we'll say, when you say that the carbon has to be offered lefnei Hashem, which means that you should offer it up in the west, so bitalta el pnei hamizbeach bedarom, then ultimately you negate the ability to offer up the carbon where? In the front of the mizbeach, which is in the south. So therefore, if you were just to offer up the Karam Mincha al Pnei Mizbeach to the front of the Mizbeach, which is in the south, there is the ability to still go ahead and uphold offering it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the west. So we'll say, how can you accomplish both? Magisha l'deroma shel keren. You go ahead and you offer it up where, Abosai? In the southwest corner. So offering up the mincha in the southwest corner allows you to go ahead and do two things. It allows you to offer it up, quote unquote, on the front of the mizbeach, but it also allows you to do what? To offer it up with Nei Hashem opposite the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'heicha kiyamta. So Rashi points out, V'hecha kiyamta pasuk shel lefnei Hashem. How are you upholding the pasuk of lefnei Hashem? Amar Avashi, Kasavar haitana kula mizbeach b'tzafon. Our Rabbi said, this is very interesting. The particular tana of this, now remember, up until now, the discussion has assumed that the mizbeach is directly opposite the entranceway to the Kodesh, directly opposite the entranceway to the Beis HaMikdash. This tana holds that, in fact, the mizbeach is pushed ultimately again to the northern side of the courtyard. So if it's pushed to the northern side of the courtyard, Abbas, listen to this. So remember, if the mizbeach is pushed all the way to the northern side of the courtyard, then the southwest corner of the mizbeach will be what? Will be directly opposite the entranceway of the Kodesh. So we'll say, see, hear this again. Remember, the issue is, if you hold the Mizbeach is centered in the, if you hold that the Mizbeach is centered in the courtyard of the Kodesh, then the southwest corner actually is below the entranceway to the Beis HaMikdash itself. But if you hold that the Mizbeach is pushed all the way to the northern side of the courtyard, the southwest corner is mamish directly opposite the entranceway right into the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, that if you're standing, if you're the coin, you're standing on the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, you could actually see directly from the Ulam into the Kodesh and see the curtain of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara says, Kai my vidayo, what does it mean, and this is enough? Amr Abashi Istrich, Sakadai Tchamina, Tiboy Hagashas Mincha Gufa. I might have thought that what Rabbi say that Allah Lamaisa, the coin should have to put the mincha itself on the mizbeach, meaning not just the kli, not just the utensil, Rashi says, but rather I actually have to pour the mincha itself on the mizbeach. Kamash malon, no. Kamash malon, Rabbi say, they shouldn't have to pour the mincha on the mizbeach, but even just bringing the kli to the mizbeach is enough. Ve'ima hachinami, but why not? Why don't I go ahead and say that there's an obligation to go ahead and put the kli on top of the, put the mincha itself on top of the mizbeach, to which the Gemara says, Mahakrava, it's a coin bekli. I'm sorry. Why don't I say that you have to put the mincha itself on the mizbeach? Amakra, because the pasuk says v'kriva el hakohen v'igisha al mizbeach. The pasuk says you have to bring the mincha to the kohen, and you have to bring, and the kohen has to bring it to the mizbeach. So the Torah is linking these two actions of bringing to the kohen and bringing to the mizbeach. Mahakrava itzal kohen b'kli, just like you bring the mincha to the kohen in a kli, af hagosha itzal mizbeach b'kli. So to bringing it near to the mizbeach is also done b'kli. All right, so we will stop over here. For tomorrow, say just a public service announcement. We're trying to figure out, Emir Tashem, where the shir is going to be. Baruch Hashem, we have a space issue. Just understand the issues. The issues with this room is constantly broken down and used for multiple things. So the tircha involved in setting this room up, not setting it up. We also understand that setting the room up upstairs is also fraught with logistical issues. So Meretz Hashem, over the next couple of days, we have to be here anyway because there's no heat upstairs. Over the next couple of days, we'll find a good long-term solution. I have nothing to do with the solution. So if you have suggestions or anything, see Ari, see Saeed. They are Baruch Hashem, Baruch Fishel. These are individuals who will be coordinating the long-term solutions. Baruch Hashem, Shechianu v'kimanu v'giyanu l'azman hazeh, that we have such a problem, but we understand there's no perfect answer yet. Meretz, over the next couple of days, we'll find one.
The Meyerhof,
yeah.
Wednesday night.